And now, another wheelbarrow full of dicks phone scam with the king of pranks, Travis Holt.
Thank you for calling Virgin Target. May I help you?
Hello, may I speak with somebody in the grocery department, please?
Yes, hold on one second.
Hi, this is Market. How can I help you?
Hi, I was wondering if you could verify whether or not you had Wavy Lays.
Wavy Lays? We do. That's have Wavy Lays.
You do carry Wavy Lays?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Turn of the King, baby.
Harrison Ford, better known as Han Solo from Star Wars, or Allie Fox from the Mosquito Coast, and you're listening to WFOD on StrangeLabel.com.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And making his grand return, the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Oh, hello. You've had a couple of weeks, a week of fellowship, a week to tour the two towers, but this is indeed the return of the king.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND. Or WFOD show on Skype. Boy, howdy, do we have a fucking show for you tonight. Let me tell you. A little bit later, we are going to be joined by Kelsey McKnight. That is surely a pen name, right, Travis? That's a pen name. Kelsey McKnight.
Right? I would certainly think so.
She has a historical romance novel coming out April 4th. We're going to talk to her about that. And some other things, Travis. You know, you got some things going on.
Of course.
And of course it is, in fact, stunt month. So once Drunkard STL gets here, we are going to talk to him about his stunt for the evening. He texted me earlier and asked me what it was going to be. And when I told him what it was going to be, he said, "That doesn't sound pleasant."
Why else would we do it? Beforehand. What if he doesn't show up?
In his defense, though, my reply to him was one word, and that word was seizures. So he probably wasn't too thrilled just by that. I didn't give any further information, but he doesn't need any. Tell him to figure it out when he gets here. That's part of the fun, isn't it?
I would imagine the prospect of a seizure probably isn't his Monday plans.
I would certainly hope not. No, you don't go into things hoping to have seizures. They just happen, right?
Yeah, that's your Friday night.
When you used to read those video game manuals that say, attention, if you're prone to seizures, maybe you shouldn't play this for extended periods of time. And really, in the back of your head, you're just hoping, please, Lord, give me one of those babies.
Do you remember back in the day, Pokemon had an episode that they had to pull from Japan because it gave a bunch of little fuckers seizures?
There was a strobe effects is what happened. Did you see the story about the fella on Twitter who claims that, well, I guess it's beyond a claim. There's legitimate news sources reporting it. A guy sent him strobe gifts on Twitter, and it made him have a seizure when he saw the strobe gif. And so he reported the guy to the FBI, and the FBI tracked down this guy who sent him the strobe gif and actually arrested him for tweeting a strobe gif to a guy prone to have seizures.
Did he know this?
Yeah, right. Did he know ahead of time that this guy was prone to seizures?
Apparently he did. Maybe he didn't take it seriously, but there was, I think he was replying to the guy saying that strobe gifs give him seizures.
The guy could block and ignore his tweets, correct?
Well, I mean, after he was sent a strobe gif that gave him a seizure, I assume now he's probably blocked. But apparently there was 40 other people who also sent him strobe gifs. At that point, I would just say, you know what? I'm not going to chance this. I'm just not going to have a social media account because it's too much.
Open the floodgates. Like, now everybody's going to want to send you seizure-inducing gifts.
I really thought about it, Travis. I really did. Just to see, I was curious to see if it was real. So I just thought, oh, dude, I'm going to send him a strobe gif and see what happens. But then, you know, it's like saying Candyman three times, Travis. You don't want to do it.
Except for Candy.
Even if you assume it's bullshit, which I do. I can't believe that somebody could get arrested for sending somebody a GIF that, I mean, really, if you just type strobe into the GIF store on Twitter, you get like 20 of them.
Right. So what is the FBI going to do? Going to make Twitter pull all strobe GIFs off?
Right, because they might give somebody a seizure.
That seems a little bit out of the FBI's jurisdiction.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted several strobe GIFs from our official WFOD show Twitter account. And I didn't at mention anybody, but I mean, is that where the line is? As long as direct it to a person?
Let's say somebody decides to look up at WFOD show on Twitter and the first thing they see is a strobe gif. Then they go into convulsions, they have a seizure. Is that on you or on them?
That's on them.
Yeah, they're just scrolling down and they see a strobe gif and it sends them into a shock.
I think the little line to cross is if you send something to somebody knowing it will cause them, you know, damage.
Potential damage,
yeah.
Well, I think that's only the case if you tag that strobe GIF, if you say, I am sending this to you in hopes that you seizure out.
It would be like you sending me the YouTube video of Smash Mouth's All-Star. I don't like hearing that song. It could throw me into like a fit of rage, so don't send it to me. And if you do, then you're invading my bubble, right? You're invading my bubble.
Like sitting in traffic and you're waiting patiently to get through the traffic to make your way home. And then you open up your social media account because traffic is at a standstill. And you open up my tweet to you and it says YouTube All-Star. You open it up, it starts playing, and you get out and go on a murderous rampage.
No! He sent me All-Star again!
Must all die!
Right, yeah. And then that's on you, Travis, because I'm saying it right now. Somebody sends me goddamn All-Star by Smash Mouth. I'm going to murder. I'm going to kill. I am. So you had a couple of weeks off, Travis. You have some good stuff happen to you. Like, did you win any prizes or have any life experiences you want to share?
I didn't win any prizes unless you considered traveling for work, and then a little bit yesterday, and my truck is now not running correctly. There's something wrong with that. That's typically the kind of prizes that I win.
Yeah, that's the opposite of a prize.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm used to it enough to where positive experiences are soured by things like that. So, I mean, it's kind of a prize to remind me of how things are. So, you know.
Excellent.
Other than that, I finished Love Season 2 on Netflix.
Do you like that show? I watched a couple episodes of that show, and I don't remember disliking it, but I didn't keep watching it.
I'm totally into it. I love it. I love the main characters. I think they work well together, and the supporting cast as well. That Claudia O'Doherty is one of my favorites, and I think it's just because of her Australian accent.
That Paul Rust guy, he's hard to look at.
You know what's super funny too is I listen to a lot of things that Paul Rust is on podcasts, and I've seen him on plenty of sketch shows and things of that nature. And I got through the entire first season of Love, enjoyed it very much. And then the movie I Love You, Beth Cooper was on VH1, which I had seen before and did not remember that a decade previous that Paul Rust was the guy who actually loves Beth Cooper.
One of the most unrealistic stories I've ever seen. Just because, yeah, no, that ain't gonna happen, brother.
It's pretty realistic in the fact that he gets his ass kicked by a bunch of jocks. The girls diss him a lot of times. They take a bunch of shit that belongs to him because he's a nerd. The third act is unbelievable. Yes,
guy's got a fucking nose on him. I'll tell you, he's got a fucking big old giant. Nice guy. Seems like a good guy. Talented. He's funny. He writes all the things that he's in. So I guess, you know, when you write the things that you're in, you can, you know. Man, nose on that goddamn guy.
That's got to be a kind of, I almost kind of wish that I was born with a nose or some kind of weird distorted features, because I'm a pretty plain looking man. I don't find myself grotesque, and I don't think that I'm particularly handsome. I'm just kind of a plain average Joe. You're going to walk by me, you're going to be like, the guy looks like 14 other people that I just walked by. But
Travis, I'm jazzed about that song that me and you are going to write called Plain Looking Man.
Yeah, plain looking man. It's perfect. But I feel like if I was born with like those weird features that people actually did look and they're like, damn, you just see, they whisper about you. I feel like you would overcompensate by cultivating your talent, whatever it may be, whether it's music or, I mean, Jack White. Look at Jack White. He's like a weird, pale looking man.
He looks pretty normal, I think.
Well, maybe it's because he locks himself in a closet to play music. He's so pale. But I mean, there's a lot of people you see is, you know, there's features on them that you would notice, and not in a pleasant way. And I think they typically, like I said, they cultivate talent, and I don't do anything.
In the chat, Anchor says Travis is known for being unremarkable.
Anchor is not a Travis guy.
Travis is unremarkable. I mean, that's not like an insult, really.
I'm not even offended by that.
He's just saying that, you know, you don't like suck and you're not great. You're just,
I'm fine. A middle-aged father of a couple of kids, married, a little bit of a little beer gut on me. I have an average job. I don't do anything of particular note. So, yeah, I'd say unremarkable probably suits me.
Travis is fine. Is what Anchor is saying.
Travis is the lukewarm tap water of men.
Napier, I have a pick of the week that I wanted to share with everybody. I wanted to make sure that you guys all know there is an Instagram account that I'm really into now. It's this this Asian gal that sets pieces of bread on the table in front of her and then just smushes her face on the bread. It is the Breadface blog, all one word, at Breadface blog on Instagram, and I'm transfixed by this Twitter, this Instagram account. I watch it all the time. I go to her videos and have repeat viewings because she just puts a piece of bread down and then just smushes her face on the bread.
Why? So these all little videos?
I don't know
that she posts.
I have no idea why she does it. I
still photos.
No, it's videos.
Okay.
She sets a piece of bread down, Travis, and she has all kinds of different breads. That's the gimmick, is that she goes and finds exotic breads to smash her face on. And I don't know why she's doing it. I haven't really researched it. She might have explained at some point. But I can't stop watching this gal jam bread in her face.
Does she have a lot of Instagram followers?
A ton, yeah. A whole lot. It's popular, Travis. It's popular.
Have you ever check to see if there's an eBay account linked to that Instagram where she sells the pieces of bread after
oh,
she
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's not a bad idea. You sell the bread afterwards. After she smushes her face on it.
That's gross. Is she a attractive looking gal?
She's kind of secretive. Like she doesn't try to like show her whole face like real clear. And you don't ever see like her body or anything. You really just kind of see her smash bread into her face.
She's making a mint on that somehow, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and they're asking me why I'm watching that shit. I'll tell you why. You watch it, and you tell me why I'm watching that shit.
What we're gonna have to do now is starting next week, obviously, we're gonna get a loaf of different kinds of breads, and Napier's gonna pull his pants down and he's gonna put his asshole directly on that piece of bread, and we're gonna put that on Instagram, and then we're gonna sell that piece of bread on our website.
He smushes dick on it. Excellent.
Well, let's do his asshole, because then it's hit or miss on whether there'll be a little bit of leftover like skid mark on there or something. That'd
there
be a little
shouldn't
extra
be.
Pants. No, of course there shouldn't be.
Unless my unless my anus gets all drooly.
Yeah, yeah. If you did a bad job, then there will be. Mm-hmm. If everything's going according to plan, then good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But there's only one way to find out, and that's to jam a piece of bread up there. You know what I'm saying?
Spread your cheeks and plant that brown eye.
Just going to give it a little kiss.
So, yeah, we're gonna try to give Drunk a seizure coming up here in a few minutes. We're gonna smash our face on some bread. I don't have any bread here. I wish I did. Maybe we could smash our face on other things. I think I have some hard salami.
No.
Nope.
You don't want to smush your face on some hard salami?
No, I'm cool.
You have like a log of summer sausage that you could strike him upon the face with?
Maybe stack up some Cheez-Its and smash your face on like a handful of Cheez-Its.
Hey, Travis, did you watch Iron Fist yet?
Yeah, I only have 4 episodes left.
I just started. It looks fucking tits.
I'm enjoying it very much. I was seeing that it was getting some bad buzz before it even premiered, which I don't know what that's all about. It's great. I enjoyed it very much.
He's a white guy, Travis, Asian guys are typically the guys who are good at martial arts.
Yeah, Travis, you can't like things because it's being
true to the character.
The character that's always been a white guy. Yeah, no, but when they recast it, they should have made it an Asian guy, because Asian guys are good at martial arts. Isn't it way more racist to say that white guys can't be good at martial arts than it is to cast a white guy as a white character who does martial arts?
Against the point of the story, which is it's a fish out of water tale. It's like taking this white guy and throwing him into like a monastery with a bunch of Asian fellows, and he has to adapt to their culture and learn their ways and bring it to the Western world.
There's the word in the chat. Cultural appropriation is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Like when I listen to Ice Cube, I shouldn't do that.
No. You know, Ice Cube probably, I don't think he'll come out and tell you, you know, outright, but he probably really appreciates all the white people who bought his records when NWA was coming up, because, you know, they sold millions and millions of records, and they weren't all to black people.
Yeah, Travis, you can't. That's the only reason he was in those 21 Jump Street movies.
You can't.
As a thank you to the whites?
Yeah.
Or the paycheck.
Thanks, white guys. Here I am.
White guys, this is my comeuppance. This is how I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to grace these 21 Jump Street movies with a grumpy chief.
That's reverse reparations.
Is it?
We're even. Even Stevens.
I thought it was called a job. You don't call a job reparations.
Tell that to... Never mind. Forget it.
Guys, we're going to go ahead and go to break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, hopefully with our guest, Kelsey McKnight. That's a pen name, right, Napier?
Should be.
It's a pen
Sounds name. Like she's hunting vampires.
Kelsey McKnight. That's a pen name. We're going to find out her real name. That's going to be the line of questioning we go with, Travis.
We'll crack her.
WFOD is proud to bring you the latest in cutting-edge podcast interactivity. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Travis, the Magnificent.
Look at this hat. It was just on my head. A normal black top hat. That's right. It's part of my getup. But when I stick my hand in this hat, it becomes a portal to another dimension. Look, I pulled a rabbit out of this hat. Boy, is that a snake? Where did all these doves come from? Natalie Portman.
I have a plate of pancakes.
Travis the Magnificent.
WFOP.
So fucking stupid. Like, so fucking stupid. Three's probably enough for those, right?
This is Strange Label.
I wish I was the Furnacast. Oh my god, we love the Furnacast. Dan Furnacast, oh he's so awesome. Oh Dan's so cool. Oh Dan's so awesome. Punk rock podcast. And this is very punk rock.
The Furnacast, live Monday, 8, 7 Central. Available on Stitcher and iTunes.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Kong Skull Island made $110 million and had a 62% Metacritic to finish with 68 points. That's certainly not going to be anywhere near Beauty and the Beast, but I guess nobody was really expecting it to be. Four steady performers who all made great money should be enough to overcome one blockbuster, right? Right? Totals for the Lotus Cast first rounder next week.
Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Are you prone? Because that would be excellent radio.
I almost had a seizure in a 3D movie one time. Like, I literally had to walk out of there.
Guys, we're back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Drunkard STL on the Twitters is here. Hi, Drunk.
Hello.
Drunk, Travis Drunk claims that he's prone to seizures.
And we probably shouldn't do this.
New information. You might get in trouble with the FBI if we pull this off.
So, are you just staring at it?
Luckily, I'm not, like, super high right now. So
what happened in the 3D movie?
It just got a little too much. It was kind of like...
What 3D movie was it?
I can't remember, but they're in, like...
It might have been John Wick or something, but they're in like some club.
John Wick wasn't in 3D.
Well, it was, I don't know. They were in some club and there was these strobe lights going and fucking I had to take off my glasses and I had to vacate the theater because I couldn't do that scene.
And you just took a little breaky poo?
Yeah.
And then what?
Went back in and watched the rest of the movie.
Drunk, how's your week been going, man?
Fantastic. How about you?
I'm okay.
That's good. I'm excited.
What are you excited about?
300's coming up.
300 is fast approaching, Drunk. We have a busy week of play. Hey, guys, let me let you know what our plan for 300 is. The 300 is not this coming week. It's the week after that. And what we are thinking about doing is just doing a full week of shows. Monday through Sunday, we will release a show every day.
That sounds awesome.
That's the plans. And
stay tuned to see if we can pull it off.
We have a lot of, things in the fire, a lot of, a lot of things churning around in an old duder's head. You know what I'm saying?
Got a lot of coals on there.
Got a lot of coals is what we got.
That iron is sitting there just waiting to burn faces off.
So we'll see. And so we're not going to be live every night. We're going to have some pre-recorded shows. We're going to have a couple of things go on. Eh, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it might be fun to try to put out a show every day for a week.
That's what the most successful YouTube stars do. Content every day.
Content every day.
But they normally just do that at their house.
My favorite song from Sound of Music.
Napier, we are joined by Kelsey McKnight. You can go to her blog, kissatmidnight.wordpress.com, and her romance novel, Queen of Emeralds, will be available April 4th.
Excellent.
April 4th. How are you, Kelsey? Are you doing okay?
I'm very good.
You said that you're putting out a whole bunch of books?
Yes.
Like, what, a month apart or something?
Basically, yeah, I have a different book coming out the next couple of months. My publisher was kind of back ordered with all their books. So there was just a ton of things on the schedule. So I signed contracts last year, but just now, they're getting out to actually publishing and printing.
Do you worry about a oversaturation situation where you're putting out just too much shit all at once?
A little bit, but I can't say that I'm an expert by any means. I'm kind of just trusting the system. I mean, the publishing house does well. They have good books and I have a couple other books going in between the historical series, so hopefully that'll help to break it up a little bit. But
a historical series of romance novels. Now, obviously, I would imagine that the four of us, probably not your target demographic.
I don't know.
Listeners, hey, maybe. Yes. Maybe Michelle in the chat, big romance novel. But you know what? I think the romance novel people, I think that now that they can, sneak it on their Kindle, their little dirty books.
Totally.
Muscular dudes on the cover.
I get weird shit. I get really weird shit sometimes.
You pick out weird shit?
No, people just send us. They can go on our website. My best friend Sarah and I, we do the blog together and we publish together everything. People can just submit their books. We don't know who they are. They just find us and, hey, can you read this? And sometimes we get, I don't know, elephant porn and shit. You'd never know what you're going to get.
Elephant porn. Yeah, now we got to talk about elephant porn, right?
No, Travis? Wait a second. Is that how you're able to pump out so many books is because people send you their books and then you just slap your name on it and say,
Prince? Oh, hell no. I can't. I got, a lot going on. My name is on everything. So my name's on nonprofits too. So I have to keep everything copacetic. Everything has to be real chill and real legal. And
you can't put out that elephant porn then.
No.
Kelsey, this romance novel thing. I mean, isn't it all just kind of the same thing over and over again?
That's kind of where you need to find your niche, and you need to find something that makes you a little bit different. And you never know. I mean, sometimes I get book after book after book that it's like the same exact story, but, you know, different names. And you're like, okay, I already read this one.
It's paint by numbers. You kind of know what's going to happen a lot of times, don't you?
Yeah. And that's what makes it disappointing. My friend Sarah says the same thing, that reading other people's works and kind of learning from their mistakes almost, I think, has maybe helped us learn how to market and how to find what works for me and what works for her, and hopefully put something out there that isn't just the same, you know, copy and paste with different names.
Now, when you say works for you, what do you mean exactly?
I mean, everyone has different writing styles and everyone does different things that they enjoy. I write about things that I enjoy writing about. I like history, and so I try to keep my novels kind of as historically accurate as I can. I don't make up things. If I write about a Scottish clan and I pick a Scottish clan, then I stick to that clan's history and their lineage, and I don't just throw heaving bosoms all around.
What about throbbing members?
No, that there are certain phrases that just skeeve me out. And
throbbing members.
That just makes my skin crawl. I am not a fan of throbbing members.
Now, you don't hear throbbing members in your regular life. I think that people just, you know, they keep trying to find new ways to say, you know, like a big hard dong.
Basically, yeah. People get pretty creative sometimes.
Well, we keep saying throbbing member, and I'm thinking that's a great name for a punk band.
Ooh. Throbbing member? Yeah, it's not bad.
Probably is already out there.
It's probably, yeah, you're probably right. I'm sure there is a throbbing member.
I'm at a computer. I'm going to Google it.
There you go. Old producer Travis. Drunk, are you watching the GIF? Why aren't you watching the GIF? We're trying We're trying to get you going here. It's stunt month. Drunk is trying to get a seizure by looking at a stroke GIF.
I'm not trying
GIF.
To get a seizure. You're trying to give me a seizure.
Oh, come on, buddy. Just look at it for a while. See what happens. See if anything happens with it. So on the kissatmidnight.wordpress.com, you do a lot of reviews and stuff?
We do. We started out with just books, and then we kind of branched off to product reviews. So people from, you know, the small shops and whatever, they send us different beauty items and pieces of jewelry, things like that, because we get a rather large crowd on Saturdays. Because do you guys know the show Outlander, the book series?
Isn't there a TV show? I think my lady friend watches Outlander. It has the guy from Sons of Anarchy in it. That's the only thing I know about it. She likes that Sons of Anarchy guy. I might be talking about a totally different show. They live in the woods, don't they?
Sometimes. I don't know. It's a bunch of guys in kilts running around, and this lady travels through time. And
yeah, no, that's a totally different show than the one I'm talking about.
Solid.
So, Kelsey, go back and ask me again. Do I know what Outlander? No, I don't.
Okay. Well, it's a very highly popular book series, I guess more for women, written by Diana Gabaldon. And it has a huge following right now. The show is going into their third season soon. And we've kind of banked on the popularity of Outlander. And we write articles and do quizzes and polls and that sort of thing and bring in viewers. And we use that, you know, sometimes we get 20, 30, 40,000 viewers on different articles that we write. And so we try to help small shops by sticking their items into these different articles and quizzes and try to boost their popularity. And we kind of try to figure out what works marketing-wise, you know, for when our own things come out.
Mike, I think we need to...
Yeah, it sounds like Kelsey's getting a lot of fun free stuff in the mail.
Well, and I mean...
How do we get on this, Travis?
Yeah, exactly.
We're an Outlander podcast now. We got to catch up. We got to see what's going on.
Do it. Yeah.
We'll talk off air on how you can get us all these Outlander viewers.
we need to get on this Outlander thing, Travis. This is a big deal.
Viewers.
I get in the chat room, he thrust his fleshy sword into the waiting moistness of her womanly sheath.
I'm going to stop you right there. Moistness, the end.
The moistness of her womanly sheath. That's not bad. I like that. That's good. Flesh sword.
I mean, that sounds really...
That What's sounds wrong, crazy. Napier? You don't like flesh sword?
I don't like flesh sword. Just, I think I would like it more if moistness wasn't in that whole situation, that just throws me the fuck off.
Yeah, moist is one of those words that I don't think a lot of people like.
Yeah, it reminds me of like
it tends to be females that don't like the word moist.
Females don't like moist. Yeah, I don't mind moist.
What if it's
moist
is fine. What if it's a moist cake that's all moist and delicious?
Yeah, moist and delicious, right? Yeah.
But as long as it's towards food, I think then it's okay. But if you're talking about like a vagina or something, that's just fucking gross. It sounds disease.
So,
Mike, Dan in the chat's pissed off that Kelsey is shitting on his art.
Mike, this is what you have to do. Reread that sentence, but do it really fat and slow.
See, you need to do it, Napier. You have a sexier voice than me. Maybe that's what it is. It was the presentation is the problem. All right, are you ready, Napes? All right, Kelsey, you're going to be on board after Napier does it. Napier, he has a sexier voice than I do. All right, go for it, Napes.
He thrust his sword.
No! What are you doing?
Voiceness.
Stop that! No! No. Just do it in your sexy voice, not your, like, butch Outlander guy voice. Kelsey is really regretting this.
No, I think I was listening beforehand to like you were like, oh, this isn't her real name.
It's not your real name, is it? Come on, Kelsey, that's a pen name.
No, I heard you guys. I went and got my license. My name is Kelsey McKnight. My parents are Scott and Jackie McKnight. It's my name.
What's their address?
Social Security number, please.
I can show you guys, but yeah. That's my real name.
All right, Napier, deliver the line. Deliver the line in like a good voice. Don't do your bullshit, awful, gruff voice. Let's hear it.
He thrusts his fleshly.
I think I said fleshy, but in the chat it says fleshly. Is that even a word?
Nope.
Fleshly? All right. He thrust his fleshy sword into the waiting moistness of her womanly sheath.
I wanted to do it funny, and now you killed it.
It's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be sexy,
it's
Napier.
It's supposed to be sexy, Napier.
There's nothing in that sentence that is sexy.
I can verify that. That sounds good. It just sounds awful.
No woman reads that sentence and goes, wow, I'm going to be stirring the trough to that one tonight.
Yeah, it's not.
Fuck no.
It's not going to hit you later. You're going to be like, oh, wait. The flesh sword, that's a euphemism. I get it now.
Not a great one.
Just clicked.
I'm sure women really like it when you refer to your hog as any sort of like weapon or implement to bludgeon her vagina.
They also love it when you refer to them as farm animals, like hog.
Oh no, they hogs are cute. They love hog, I think.
No, we like piglets. Hogs kind of like you ride a hog, like you ride a bike.
Kelsey, you know? As a reviewer of romance novels and a novelist yourself, what are your preferred words that you, like if you got out of thesaurus and looked up penis and you just went for the ones that like you like what are your preferred penis words?
All right, so there's like contemporary penis words and historical penis words.
Historical and they don't really... penis words.
Yes, we're talking about historical dicks right now. And historical dicks is just like his member, his manhood. And contemporary romance is like his dick, his cock.
Oh, manhood. I forgot about manhood.
Manhood is like the big one.
So like if you were referring to Abraham Lincoln, you would say manhood.
No, you're going further back to use manhood. You got to be in a castle and shit to use manhood.
So you'd say Abraham Lincoln's dick?
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln's surrounding member.
Historically, you would say cock.
So you'd say Abraham Lincoln's cock.
Yes.
Kelsey, what's the cutoff for manhood? What year do you think?
Like, would George Washington be manhood, or would he still be cock?
Was Christopher Columbus sporting manhood when he sailed the ocean blue?
I don't know, because he was real rapey, so we try to get away from that.
He just probably referred to it as the enforcer.
I've just...
Probably, honestly.
Christopher Columbus book series.
Dan's writing more of his novel in the chat room. We got his throbbing manhood cleaved through her pelvis like a cleaver through an uncured ham.
You can't use cleaver twice.
Yikes. Yeah, I feel like that's too much cleave.
Yeah, that sounds violent.
Yeah, that... Sometimes, though, you know, like with the 50 Shades of Grey and stuff, you know, the violence that's in right now. It's so hot right now, Kelsey.
Yeah, no, it's true. But the BDSM community, they have some problems with, like, it's got to be done right. And I don't know much about BDSM, but I know that 50 Shades of Grey just was, like, I guess the consent and everything is supposed to be, like, paramount in their conversation, their relationship, and it wasn't there in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, she signed contracts. I saw it.
Yeah,
I saw the film in theaters.
But he, like, overstepped his boundaries or something. I read the book. I don't know. They didn't do it for me. I thought he was really whiny. She was really whiny. The end, they beat each other. I don't know.
So you're saying that they weren't doing much cleaving?
I think they were doing a lot of cleaving.
And that's what turned you off.
So that was a poser BDSM movie. It's not an authentic BDSM movie.
I mean, according to Google, not really.
Google knows everything.
Google does know everything.
Google is very knowledgeable when it comes to BDSM fuck movies.
So, listen, I'm not familiar with this, but I understand it's big business, but I don't know if it crosses over into your genre. But are audiobooks for romance novels, are they big business?
Sometimes. I mean, I like audiobooks. Like, if I'm driving long distance, and I like to just download an audiobook and just, you know, listen to it for the whole drive. I mean, maybe that's old lady-ish of me, but I enjoy them, and there's a market out there for audiobooks. If you have a good voice, even, and you reach out to a self-published author or sometimes even publishing houses, then you can actually make quite a bit of money if you can, you know, speak well and read without fucking it up too badly.
We have four guys on this show that can speak real good.
Oh, right, right, right. Will the Queen of Emeralds be available on audiobook, Kelsey?
It's not in my contract. If it does really well, I can open my contract, I think, up to audiobooks. But Livin'List Publishing is pretty small, so they basically just do ebooks and you know, just regular print books. But I think if I wanted to, I could make some kind of deal for an audiobook, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I definitely think that maybe Napier could read some choice excerpts as some sort of promotional material for you.
That would, yeah? Can you Scottish accent? That doesn't suck.
Napier, do you got a Scottish accent, buddy?
No.
I know you do. Let's pull it out, buddy.
You got to make my bosoms heave. That's what sells.
Yeah, the bosoms need to be heaving.
I
but
love
the Scottish.
You,
see, those Scottish, it's the accent.
You know, Napier, just think of Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. Do that.
Stirring in their womanlies a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You get the accent. That's what works. You got nothing?
We'll, got nothing.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have to listen to Willie and Shrek.
We can work something out.
Yeah, we'll send you a sample of Napier's Scottish accent once he nails it down.
You want me to send you some kind of saucy excerpt that he can try to
saucy try to excerpt.
We'd like that anyway. I like saucy excerpts.
Drunk, probably.
I'll compete with him. I think
you got a Scottish accent. Let's hear it, Drunk.
You can give me something to read in Scottish. I don't know.
Read Dan's latest line with a Scottish accent. Dan is continuing his sexy book in our chat room, which, by the way, you can follow along with at strangelabel.com if I haven't said that already. Go ahead, Drunk.
That's gonna be.
Are you having a seizure?
Turn that gif off, Mike.
I'm going to read it as Dirty Hog Monster. He gently pumped away into her feminine sewer like a septic truck unloading down at the city lagoon.
He caressed her nethers until his forearm looked as if it had been soaking in a pickle jar up to the elbow.
What the hell, Travis? You went a little too leprechaun on that, I think. Drunk. Do this line again in your best Scottish accent. It's a Scottish historical romance called The Queen of Emeralds, Drunk. By the way, this is not part of Kelsey's book. This is Dan Fernicase's book.
Just to be clear, Kelsey is a professional author. This is not part of her book.
He caressed her nethers until his forearm looked as if he'd been soaking in a pickle jar up to an elbow.
That sounded kind of Mexican.
It's like a blend.
Well, that guy in the first Fast and the Furious movie who
like I know
trying to intimidate Paul Walker. You know what I'm talking about?
St. Louis like is like guy. A melting pot, but that's, I mean, that pot is completely melted.
Kelsey, what's the, you got a, what,
Oh my God, Mike, we do this all every week, every single week for how many
years? I'm a professional broadcaster, buddy.
Kelsey, what is the best way to purchase your book? So, like, how is it going to benefit you the best?
The best? I guess just going through Amazon. I mean, I'm going to have, I guess, I'm going to pretend that I'm a hotshot and have signed books available on my website.
That's where to buy them.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can buy them there or you can buy them on Amazon. They're going to be the same price. So, I don't really think it matters too much.
Get your signed copy on Kelsey's website.
kissatmidnight.wordpress.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at Kelsey M. McK. If you don't know how to spell Kelsey, we retweeted her. Check it out. Kelsey, thank you. Yeah. It was good times. We're going to try to see if we can get Drunk to have a seizure.
And we will get you that sample of Napier doing a Scottish accent here in the future. We're going to work on it. We want to be partners with you on your audiobook.
Napier's not good on the fly. We got to have him practice a bit.
Oh no, we'll make it a good Outlander segment. He can come on and read some scenes from Outlander, bring in the crowd.
There you go. Get the Outlander bump.
And the WFOD bump. It's coming.
Thanks, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
Bye, Kelsey.
Travis, I like that Kelsey. She seems like a nice gal.
I still think she's a vampire hunter with that name.
That's a cool name. That's the kind of name that you get when
she's fun.
Yeah, when you're going to put on some long leather jackets. So they, you know what I'm saying? Like one of those a duster.
You turn on some techno music, you put on your sunshades, and you start stabbing vampires.
they say I went full racist. How do I go full racist?
Drunk, that was not a good Scottish accent at all. You sounded very Mexican.
There was some Scottish in there.
I would say that Travis's was way more racist than Drunk's, though. Travis just went straight up Lucky Charms.
A little bit.
So, Travis, did you see the thing about the Shia LaBeouf, what the Shia LaBeouf was doing?
I have sworn off of social media for news, and I haven't checked my Twitter.
There's too much fake news?
I'm just sick of it. It's just so negative, and I tell you what, it's made me feel very happy. So I'm going to rely on you every week to bring me the news so I can react to it.
Mike is your number one news source?
You are my number one news source.
So the Shia LaBeouf, if you remember, when Donald Trump was inaugurated, he began a live feed in New York City where you could go to a specific location, and there was a street-level camera that people were supposed to just continuously chant, "He will not divide us," for 4 years. This live stream was going to be online that you could just go to the He Will Not Divide Us website and check it out. And I don't know if you know this, Travis, but occasionally when people put stuff online, it tends to generate like kind of a counter crowd of people who want to shit on what you're doing.
Like everything, like literally everything that exists.
And so expectedly, people showed up to Shia LaBeouf's live feed. And I think that there was some people that were chanting, "He will come inside us."
Ah.
And there was people that were just like blowing air horns at it constantly. Anyway, he had to take it down because there was too many people that were trolling it.
That sounds like a church song. Like you're standing up in church to sing, like, "He will come inside us."
He will come inside us.
Sounds like there's 42 old people and a bunch of us. Song.
So he moved the live feed because, I mean, he already paid the bill for 4 years, Travis. He's got to keep it going. He moved it to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it went up again. And soon he was discovering the same problems in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as he did in New York. There's apparently people on the internet who want to shit on things that people do.
Can't believe it.
So he had to move it again. And this time, he just moved it to an undisclosed location and put the camera on a white flag with black lettering that said, "He will not divide us." He didn't share where it was. He didn't want people to talk on it anymore because people can't be trusted. And so the good folks of a website called 4chan, which I think is just like dickhead headquarters, I think.
I'm sure they're all lovely people.
You do not want to fuck with 4chan, guys.
There's probably good people on 4chan, but I think that from what I've seen, the people of 4chan, they like to fuck with everything.
There's nothing wrong with lighthearted humor.
I once saw on 4chan, like, I would troll around the forums a little bit once in a while, like a half a decade ago. And I once saw the good people at 4chan troll a gal's Facebook page who had recently been hit by a train on accident and talk so much shit about this poor dead teenage girl that the page eventually did shut down.
So the people of 4chan studied this flag waving in the wind in an undisclosed location, like the Zapruder tape. They looked at wind patterns and the time of the sunset, and if there was airplanes flying in certain directions, they were checking flight plans, and then they could narrow it down to a certain point to where they just got a guy to drive around in a van honking his horn to see if they could hear it on this live feed. And they found the flag. In the continental USA, they all put their heads together. They devoted God knows how much time. I mean, how much time does it take to clock the sunset and check flight plans? You have to watch this tape 24 hours a day to see an airplane fly by and see what direction it is. And then you have to how many different airlines you have to check.
Imagine what those people could do if they used their powers for good. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if those 1,000 guys who had to track down this goddamn flag to shit all over it would do something like amazing, the world would be a better place.
I don't know. That does sound pretty amazing.
They had to track down this.
It's like Where's Waldo. It's like real life, like national Where's Waldo. And it's kind of exciting that they were able to do it in a way, but at the same time, it's pretty fucked up that they're
don't you think there's something beautiful about that though? Just the time and energy spent to troll Shia LaBeouf, that's mind-boggling art. That's amazing.
Just think about what Napier could do with his time if he wasn't on World of Tanks 24/7.
Right, Napier. Like if you made something of your time.
I am. I'm making anger and salt by driving around in my KV2 while I'm half lit and giving them Stalin's dick. By the way, the KV2 is excellent at giving people the dick.
Or the manhood, if you will.
Yeah. When was that tank? What time period is World of Tanks?
Were castles still around?
About World War II, a little bit after, getting into Vietnam, kind of in there. But it's more of like an arcade game.
Drunk, can I start a Instagram account and just every week you smush your face on a piece of bread?
We have to distinguish ourselves from them. It's got to be like a hot piece of lasagna.
No, it'll be all different kinds. Maybe, yeah, it'll just be a variety of different foods.
Like hot foods, like hot soup.
Put his face in soup?
Chilies, like spicy, like habanero chilies.
I made some bone soup this weekend. You can try to smush his face into that. Why are you looking at me funny?
What's bone soup?
It's where you make a stock using animal bones, like pig necks, chicken ribs.
Yeah, but you take that stuff out, though.
Well, no, you don't leave it in there. You make the broth using the bones.
Yeah, so it's not bone soup. You just are creating like a base.
Yeah, it's like a thick stock.
What kind of soup did you make out of that stock?
It was supposed to be pork, but it turned out to be chicken. I think I used too much chicken rib cages.
It was supposed to be pork, but it turned out to be chicken?
I used all these pig necks, and I used like 2 pounds of pig necks, but I guess I used too much chicken, and it turned out to be pretty much chicken.
Gently. So once you removed all those necks and shit, what kind of soup was it?
I was hoping pork, but it didn't turn out that way.
Gently, she took the log of his man love into her head hole, sliding it further and further.
Further.
Sliding it further and further. I did it again.
Further and further.
Yeah.
It's like it's so furred up there.
All right. Gently, she took the log of his man love into her head hole, sliding it further and further until it rested against her duodenum.
And she puked out bone soup all over it.
What's a duodenum?
That's that thing in the back.
I thought that was your tonsils.
It is. She
uvula?
Her head hole is her mouth.
Like your uvula? Esophagus?
Is duodenum another word for uvula?
Only prior to the 17th century.
Oh, because it's historical.
That's right.
Drunk.
Sir.
Buddy.
Did you have a seizure yet?
You didn't have any seizures.
No, thank God. I got a massive headache, though.
Good stunt, though.
it gave me quite the headache.
Didn't like it.
No.
Well, next week, we're going to close out Stunt Month by putting some stuff in your mouth.
Yay.
That's always fun.
Everybody's favorite feature.
Do you have like a pick of the week? Anything you want the people to know about, buddy?
Nope, not this week.
Napier.
Iron Fist. That's my pick of the week.
Iron Fist?
Yeah.
On Netflix.
On the Netflix.
Travis, buddy, glad you're back. But it was a rough 2 weeks without you.
I agree.
Sorry to hear that.
Benny was pretty funny, though. Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed Benny. I haven't talked to Benny in a while.
Do you have anything you want the people to know about, Travis, buddy?
No, man. Like Napier said, check out Iron Fist, I guess, and get off Twitter.
Just get off?
Yeah, well, keep your Twitter account. Only look at it when someone at mentions you, or specifically look people up that you know won't make you.
You're taking the social out of social media.
There's never been.
There's
a
not really
part.
Anybody fun on Twitter anymore. I talk to like the same three people, and it's sad now.
Twitter is people shouting into a hallway, hoping somebody will respond to them, and nobody ever does because they're too preoccupied with their own negative bullshit.
Except for Nihilist Arby's. Nihilist Arby's doesn't feed you bullshit.
I'm only going to be posting pictures of delicious ice creams that I found, like the Hostess Cupcake ice cream. Wait, that's it. Travis's pick of the week is Hostess Cupcake ice cream. If you can find that in your grocer's freezer, buy it. It is wonderful.
That sounds delicious. Who's it made by?
It's so good. I don't know if it's Edie's or somebody. I'd have to go look, but it is...
Losing Travis. Losing Travis. Guys, be sure to give Kelsey McKnight, at Kelsey M. McK, a quick follow on the old Twitter, and then let her know that you heard her here. We'll be back next week. We're going to do it again. We appreciate all of you.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, that's my mama.
I remembered!
Tucked in the corner. wants you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, it's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzonia, and Joni B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to WFODix.com and find it under the Extras tab. In turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us. Right?
The duodenum is the first part of the small intestine, traveling from the pylorus of the stomach to the duodenal jejunal flexure. There are four parts of the duodenum. The first, or superior part, at the level of L1. The second, or descending part, at the level of L2. The third, or inferior part, at L3. And the fourth, or ascending part, at L2. The arterial supply to the duodenum arises from both the celiac trunk and the superior mesenteric artery.
Now, give me your hand. There, that's better.